In an interview with 60 Minutes that aired last night, America got another look into the mind of Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. And, well, he came off as very confident. In fact, when asked about the fears of runaway inflation as a result of the $600 billion the Fed announced they would buy in Treasury securities, he said he was 100% confident that he could keep prices in check. 100%! All at a time when unemployment in the country is at 9.8%. When the first round of quantitative easing obviously didn't work, because otherwise they wouldn't have gone for a second one. So what do we say here? Does Ben Bernanke really know what he's doing? Or is he a little bit delusional? Here to discuss it with me is Anthony Randazzo, Director of Economic Research at the Reason Foundation. Anthony, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
100% confident that he can prevent runaway inflation. That's very, very confident. Can anybody ever promise 100% anything, especially when it comes to economics?
It's absolutely ridiculous. There's no way that he can be absolutely 100% confident that he can control inflation. I don't know if delusional is necessarily the right word. Wrong is definitely the word.
But Ben Bernanke isn't usually one to mince his words. I mean, this guy knows how to talk, right? He knows how to very carefully select everything that he's going to put out there. So Why would he say something like this?
Ben Bernanke is more and more seeing himself as the last bastion of economic hope in this country, because he wants there to be more fiscal stimulus coming out of Congress, but that's not going to happen because of the next Congress coming in January. That's not going to happen, and the administration has really not been pushing hard enough on that front. And he sees himself as the only stabilizing force in the economy, which is why they're being so bold with quantitative easing too. And this is his way of trying to add some confidence to the marketplace by saying to the American public on 60 Minutes, I've got it under control. I know what's going on, which is exactly what he said before the bubble, and it's exactly what Alan Greenspan said during the midst of the buildup of the bubble, is like, look, there's a housing bubble, it's coming, but we got it under control. We'll know when to pull the trigger. But you cannot know. And furthermore, you can't even prove one way or another that he'll be right, because at some point they're going to act on inflation, thinking that they're going to curb it. But we won't be able to necessarily say, unless inflation goes flying out of control, we won't necessarily be able to say that was the right time to move. They may try to move on inflation and actually hurt the economy in the process. And we won't necessarily be able to say, well, you know, you should have let inflation go a little bit more or a little bit less. You can't know these things 100%.
So maybe that's why he's thinking no one will ever be able to pinpoint whether it was really right or wrong. So that's why he feels okay with saying 100%. Yeah. I mean, let me look at another quote from his. He said that we could raise interest rates in 15 minutes if we have to. So there really is no problem with raising rates, tightening monetary policy, slowing the economy, reducing inflation. I mean, if all of this is so easy, I just don't get why they haven't fixed the economy yet. Why we still have 9.8% unemployment.
You would think, Bernanke has said, look, we've got all the tools, we've got everything we need to make sure that we prevent out-of-control inflation, and we've got all these tools to keep it from, you know, out-of-control deflation.
But do we really have the tools to raise interest rates right now?
Okay, so we could, in theory, raise the federal funds rate, which would begin to raise interest rates. But Bernanke's not going to do that, because that would be counteractive to what quantitative easing is supposed to do, which is trying to push down interest rates. So in theory, they could try and push up interest rates, but if they do that, that hurts the U.S.'s debt problem, which the Treasury Department doesn't want, which quantitative easing is trying to fund and the Treasury's debt, so they actually won't do that. In theory, he could bump them up, but he won't, and we know that he won't. So it's almost as if Bernanke didn't think that non-economists were going to watch 60 Minutes. It's like he can tell the American public
this. One of the most popularly watched programs on Sunday evenings for all Americans, right? Well, you know, another thing that he mentioned, obviously they've been getting a lot of flack after this decision that they're going to, pump $600 billion more into the economy. And they've been getting a lot of criticism from foreign leaders, from people around the world. And yet in this interview, he also said that, well, you know, there's even a possibility that we could expand that it could be more than $600 billion.
Yeah.
Is that really a good idea?
No, well, if quantitative easing was a bad idea,
sounds like a bad idea.
No, it's a very bad idea, and it's basically Bernanke telling the rest of the world, I realize you're upset with me, but more or less, screw you. We're going to do what's best for the United States. We're not going to work in concert with, you know, the rest of the world. Which, I mean, on one hand, in principle, that's not inherently the worst strategy. We do have the governing body for the United States. We do need to make sure that we're being careful with what we're doing here in the U.S., but what we do does have massive implications for the rest of the world, and we do need to wind up selling goods to the rest of the world at one point. So if we want to be an exporting nation, we can't be destroying other economies around the world with our policy. We do need to be, on some
it's
level,
so
trying to work with others.
Remember that there are other people out there. Ben Bernanke made this statement that seems a little off to me for this whole thing, because he started talking about the income gap in America right now. And the income gap is the largest place where it's been. And he essentially said that we're creating two societies, something that, yes, is very real. But then he just said, well, it's all because of education, which I guess you could say also plays a large factor there. But I mean, I just don't, why would he say something like that?
It's a little curious. It is true that if you have a college degree right now, you're more likely to be able to get a job than not, and that's because of the way that jobs have sort of moved in this country. We used to have a lot more manufacturing jobs. A lot of those have moved offshore, where where companies can get cheaper labor and just as quality, if not more quality labor. So there used to be that you could be in Detroit, get a high school education, and get a $70 an hour job. That's just not as prevalent in the United States anymore. Jobs are moving elsewhere. You need to have more skills. You need to have higher levels of education to work in this economy. And so we're in this transition period where we're sort of shifting to some of those new jobs. That's part of what this recession and the current unemployment situation is all about, is the U.S. economy sort of retooling itself. Now, I don't think that we have this massive income gap that's being talked about as this really, really bad problem. Yes, there are more wealthy.
How is that not a problem? It's the largest that's ever been.
Yes, there are the wealthier people in the United States. That top five income, they have a lot of money right now. But it's not like people on the bottom end of the spectrum are sort of dirt poor. It's not just because those people are getting wealthy, and maybe even getting wealthy faster than those people at the bottom end, doesn't mean that that's necessarily inherently bad for those people. Because there's nothing, no school of economics has ever said this is the natural balance of income across an entire society. What's most important is really what's going on with that bottom end, and they're not getting the education that they need because the American public school system is so messed up. And who runs
that? What I mean by saying, again, oversimplifying, oh, 100% I can do this, oh, it's only education, forget any other, you know,
anything else within the system
of America that is actually keeping people down. I don't know. I'm not with Bernanke on this one.
It's complicated.
Thank you so much for being here. Yeah.